chapter 28. If you want to turn there, you can, to the very last words of Jesus. I just want to, well, almost his last words before he ascended. This is, he gives command to his disciples before he leaves. And he says in verse 13 that all authority had been given to him on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And then in verse 19, he tells his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. And included in making disciples is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he said they're also to teach these disciples all things that Jesus commanded. And then he leaves with a great promise, saying that he would be with us until the end of the world, until the end of the age. Some beautiful things here I just want to mention real briefly. Those who believe in Christ, who accept his message by faith, and actively yield their lives to him, are to be baptized. They're to be baptized in water. Now, what we do here as a church is we practice believer's baptism. That means you have to come to a place where you believe in Christ and you make him Lord and Savior of your life. Peter said, repent and be baptized. And so the repentance has to come first. And so we reach an age where we realize that we have sinned against God, and we repent of that, confessing our sins, and then putting our faith and trust in Jesus to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we follow him in this area of baptism. Now, the word baptize literally means to immerse or to be put under. So that's what it literally means. And so we practice baptism by immersion. We bring people down in the water and we dunk them into the water. And it's also a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Because when Jesus went to the cross and died, he was then buried in a tomb. But thank God he didn't stay buried. On the third day, he rose again. So when we take somebody down into the water and we put them under the water, they are identifying with Jesus in his death. And as they're held under the water for just that split second, they identify with his burial. And then as they come up out of the water, it's identifying with his resurrection. They are raised to walk in newness or resurrected life. So only the immersion in water really pictures the gospel, and so we do it this way. Now, also, it is an act of obedience, I believe. If there's just one reason why we need for somebody to be baptized, it's because Jesus commanded it, and we want to be obedient to him. If we fail to obey anything that he's commanded us, we miss out. We miss out on something. And so we don't want to miss out. We want to be a part of everything that he's doing. And so what happens when people come to be baptized this morning? What they are doing is really preaching a message to you. And Paul said that you are our epistles written on our hearts. We're living letters of God's word. And the message they are going to preach to you this morning is this: I have made an inward commitment to follow Jesus. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to make a public demonstration to you of that inward commitment that I have already made. And so today, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for those that are being baptized. And we are glad that you are here to be able to witness that. And I know that many of you have traveled miles to be here, and I'm sure that those that you have come to see baptized are grateful for that. And we don't baptize just because it's convenient, but because it is the right thing to do. It is obeying the command of the Lord. In fact, Jesus himself traveled 60 miles. He walked 60 miles one way in order to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now, there wasn't anything special about that, but the scripture says that he went there because there was much water there. In other words, there was enough water there to baptize by immersion. That's the way Jesus was baptized, and we follow his example. Certainly, there was water in Jerusalem, but there wasn't a body of water that he could go to and be baptized as such. And so those are some of the reasons why we practice baptism here and why we practice specifically baptism by immersion. It is simply to follow our Lord and to be obedient to him. So what we're going to do today is we're going to let these baptismal candidates come up. In fact, if they could all come and sit on the front row at this time, they are going to come up here and they're going to tell you why they'd like to be baptized or share a little bit of their story and how they came to Christ with you. And then they're going to have somebody that they have already chosen pray for them. And then we will take them down into the water and we will baptize by the authority of Jesus, who commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in the service where we could come and just demonstrate our faith to you in a very personal and practical way. I pray for each one as they are baptized here today, Lord, that they would receive a blessing from you. Lord, that you would fill their heart with joy. I pray, Lord, for also a new spiritual power, for resurrection power to be a part of their Christian life from here on out. And Lord, I pray that you would just minister to everyone here through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we have asked Jasper. Jasper actually volunteered to come and be first. So if we could have Nathan and James up here as well, helping us down to the water. Pastor Josh is going to assist me. And with that, we'll begin. Jasper, it's really great to see somebody young follow the Lord in baptism.
I want to be baptized because I love Jesus.
You want your dad to pray over you?
He wants to be a pastor doctor when he grows up. So we're proud. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all of those that have come forward today, Lord, to be baptized, to take this other step from salvation, Lord, on through this process of sanctification, which is life. We ask, God, that you would be with Jasper, that you would place a hedge of protection around him, that you would protect his mind from the deceiver, and that you would help him and guide him as he grows in you and as he fulfills his dreams of being a pastor doctor. Thank you for him. Amen.
I always talked to God growing up, but I guess my true relationship started on my wedding day of all days. It was painfully hot that day, and it was an outdoor wedding, and I was sweating like you wouldn't believe. And I asked the Lord, please show me a sign that what I'm doing here is right and that you are real. And a really inspiring moment. Just a gust of wind picked up and came through, and you just knew. So since then, we've just become closer and closer, and what I'm doing here today is just the next step with the Lord. Yeah.
And Kyle asked me to pray for him, and I just want to say the joy I have in doing that. I met Kyle in kindergarten. I had a really tough time going to kindergarten. I hated school, and I didn't know anybody there, you know, didn't know any of the kids, but Kyle was my only friend. And the joy that I have to see him here today, you know, it's just great. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for Kyle. I thank you for the work that you've been doing in his life. Thank you for what you've been doing in his family, Lord. I just pray that you keep moving in his family and just protect his family, Lord, and just help Kyle to become a man of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I grew up going to church, and I was saved in junior high at Bible camp, but I never had a close relationship with God, and I never knew how to do that or how to make it real until I started coming to church here. And it got personal, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started reading the Bible and making it personal, and it's just changed everything in my life, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm ready to take the next step after Jesus. And I asked my mom to come pray.
I don't know how a mom's supposed to talk after all this. As you know, I have a hard time talking. God is so good, and he is so big, and he is so amazing. Like Casey said, she grew up going to church, but we had no relationship with Christ. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. You are a mighty, big, amazing God. I thank you for this precious, precious woman that you have created. You know the hairs on her head. Lord, I ask you, I know you are always with her. I ask you to reveal to her how special she is and how amazing she is. She is loved by so many here, but Lord, you love her so much. So Lord, I ask that you draw her closer to you, that she knows more of you every day. In your precious name, amen.
Grew up going to church, just as some of the others have said, church, Sunday school, and I thought I always knew Christ until I went to a Bible study a number of years back, and it was pretty plain to see that knowing about him and knowing him were two completely different things. I have had some tough times growing up, and one thing that I don't want to get real personal here, but as a young child, I never, ever felt loved by my father. And it took me a long time to realize that those are some kid things and I would outgrow it, but it seemed to always be with me. It was just always there. And I was in a church service here, and I will say that I don't, when it comes to God, there is no coincidence ever. And I was brought to this church a while back. Rod Flatlin, I met him a number of years ago, a long time ago, and he came into the bank where I worked, And on his way out that day, we talked. It was the first time I'd seen him in years. And on his way out, he turned and he handed me a card and said, why don't you join us for the Living Last Supper? And I came on Friday. I came on Thursday and Friday. I was going to come again on Saturday. And I got to thinking, you know, if all those people there, they see me come all those times in a row, you might really wonder about me. So I didn't come on Saturday, but I did come the next year. I don't think that was a coincidence. I was at a craft sale one day, not looking for anything, just kind of wandering around, and there on the wall, right straight ahead of me, and it still is one of my favorite verses, Psalms 46:10, and it just simply said, "Be still and know that I am God." And every time some of my past memories or anything comes up that wants to weigh me down, I just try to remember that, just to be still. God will take care of it. And the sermon in this church that really hit my heart, I was here, Pastor Josh was preaching, and he started talking about the day that his daughter was born and how she cried and cried. And then he talked about how our Heavenly Father loves us. He's always loved us. And at that moment, everything seemed to disappear. I knew that I had no more worries about anybody, any father ever loving me, because I knew that since day one, that my Heavenly Father has always loved me, and he always will, unconditionally. I've asked if my daughters and my husband could stand with me as pastor.
I was 7 when I was saved at a Bible camp, and last year I really wanted to get baptized, but I didn't know what to do. I asked the Lord for a sign, and 3 months ago, he let me speak in tongues, and now I'm getting baptized because of his mighty love for me. And I've asked my grandma to pray for me.
Oh, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. You never fail, because it's impossible for you to fail. And we just humbly bow before you, Lord God, and exalt you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I just want to thank you for Anna Grace. What a gift and a blessing she is, Father. You are so good to us. Just can't even thank you enough for your goodness. And I just thank you for the work, Father, that you're doing in Anna's heart. Oh, Lord God, I just pray that you would embed deep in Anna's heart to trust in you and lean not upon her own understanding, and in all her ways acknowledge you, and you will direct her path, Lord God. I pray your spirit would be mighty within Anna, and that she would be used, Lord God, as salt and light in this world, and she would go forth, Lord God, to do your work through and in her, to touch many other lives, Lord, for your kingdom, and there would be great fruit that would come from the work that you are doing through Anna and in Anna. Oh, Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, you're so wonderful. Praise and honor, glory be to you forever and ever. Hallelujah. You reign. Glory to you, Lord God.
Really bold to even try it. Kelly, you going first? All right.
Well, I'm not real good at talking to people in front of them, so we'll see how this goes. I was going to talk about how Jesus was in our lives for so long, and we never really give him credit for it. Back in, would have been about 1990, we've been farming since 79. In 1990, we went in for our financial assessment like we did every year with FHA so we could get some more money to farm a little longer. They've run us through a long process, and they come down to the bottom line and says, you have to give us $4,500 or we're not going to deal with you anymore. In other words, they're going to take the farm. And we couldn't sell anything, and we couldn't borrow it. So we went home wondering, now, how is this going to work? I'll come back to that. At the same time, my dad, who was 90 years old at this time and had enjoyed good health all his life, had been slipping a little bit lately, so he wasn't driving as much. He has spent close to a week at my brother's place, and we went over there and got him and brought him home to our place, and this was on a Sunday. And we agreed that on Tuesday, I would drive him back up to his home, which is 2 hours away in up by Cambridge, Minnesota. So we had agreed on that, and he's running about the house. And he come back a little bit, about an hour later, and says, you know, we're going to have to go on Monday. There's going to be a snowstorm on Tuesday. And I told him, Dad, I watched the weather really close. There's no snow in the forecast. But he insisted, so I said, well, okay, so we'll go on Monday. So come Monday, I drive him up to his farm, 2 hours up and 2 hours back. Everything is fine. He's waving and out the driveway at me. And so Monday's fine. Come Tuesday, during a snowstorm, which only he knew about, there was never forecasted by anybody. My brother called me and told me that my dad had passed, or our dad had passed that day. And of course, you have the grieving process to go through. But he had wanted to die in his house where his dad had died. And he accomplished that by going home on Monday. He also was taken in the most kind and gentle way I've ever heard of. Dad liked to sit down and read the newspaper after he ate a meal. So he ate breakfast, sat down in his comfy chair, reading the newspaper, and he fell asleep. And this was normal. He did this all the time. Except this time he didn't wake up. So he got what he wanted. He wanted to be there. And he had just the kindest way of dying. And there was enough inheritance, so we got to keep our farm, which we now still live on and have retired on. So that's just an example of how God can work in your life. And there are several others that we realize too after we sit down and look back over our farming years, how many times God was there, that we never give him credit for it. So I'm giving him credit for it now. This is my oldest daughter, Jessica.
Lord God, we can't make this stuff up. Only you can do this, and we praise you for that. We praise you for this moment. This man has been an incredible influence in my life, obviously, as my father, and I pray that you will use this moment, this transforming moment in his life, to continue his walk with you. He didn't know he was going to be here a year ago, Lord, and so we praise you for this moment and pray for your greatest blessing on him as he takes this step forward in declaring publicly that he will live in you forever, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, I'm just really humbled to be able to do this. I've always wondered about baptism, and when Pastor said you can be baptized, it was just, Al turned to me and said, let's get baptized. And I was just like, yeah, let's do that. And so when Pastor met with us, he was telling us, you know, what the procedure was and that we would be asked to share why we want to be baptized. Well, I want to proclaim that I choose to be a Christian. I love him, and I want to serve him. And so I asked the Lord, what would you want me to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ? And I have to go back to the farm again. Al and I came in 79. And about a year after we were there, we decided we wanted to start a family. So I went in for a checkup, and the tests didn't come back very well. And they had said, if you're going to have a family, you really should have a family now. So the Lord blessed us within the year with Jessica. And during her birth here, we really had a struggle getting here. I know the Spirit was with us and gave instructions to the nurse, and she put a monitor on us and realized that when I was on my back, Jessica was on her back, and we were losing her through the process. So knowing this was probably going to be a very difficult process, we were able to have her join us here, and we were just so happy. And so following her birth, I went back to the doctor, and they started some more tests and checked me, and they said, Cindy, we really need to put you in for surgery immediately because you have cancer. And I said, okay, we're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to go in, and we're going to do this. So we did. And when surgery was done, the doctor had said, you know, I want you to know we've got all of it. You're going to have a procedure you're going to have to go through for checkups. But, Cindy, I need to tell you, you are not going to have any more children. The scar tissue will be so intense that you just will not have any more children. And I remember in my head thinking out loud, but you aren't God. So, 4 years later, I thought I was pregnant. And, well, actually 3 years. And went into the doctor and said, you know, I'm not sure if I am or not. And he goes, well, let me go check. So he left, and he came back in and set a bottle of prenatal vitamins in front of me and said, I don't believe this. I've never heard of it. Cindy, you are so blessed. This is a miracle. And I'm going, yes, it is, no doubt. So we had our second daughter, and 18 months later, we had another daughter on her way. We were praising God. Let me tell you, Jesus is alive. He truly, truly is alive. You bet. I've just, Sue was telling me to just carry it on a little further. I went in for another checkup with the doctor in Glenwood City, and she was saying, well, since you had your surgery, you probably had all three girls before your surgery. And I said, no, actually, I had our oldest one. And then I had our surgery, and then we had two more babies. And she goes, that doesn't happen. And I said, but with God, anything is possible. So, yes, I praise him, I thank him, and I really choose Jesus and want to be baptized today because he is alive, and he is in our hearts. So those two baby girls are going to be my sponsors today. Jenny and Christy, if you would come. And I have to say, we've got seven grandbabies, and everyone's here witnessing our baptism today.
Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that you are so much greater than a doctor. We thank you for the way that you have worked in Mom's life and in Dad's life, dear Father, the way you have provided for them when they've needed it, the way you have blessed them, oh, so much more than they ever anticipated that you would, dear Father. We thank you so much for this day and for the way that they are able to publicly proclaim how much they love you, dear Father. We thank you for this day. We ask that you would bless them greatly, dear Father, and that you would use this to enlarge their territory. And that you just would work, dear Father, as you always do. We love you so much, and we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.